the No Panic Zone. Good to have you here. It's the Steve Gerber Show for a Thursday. My next guest, Professor Richard Ebling, AIE, our senior fellow, is the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. Professor, welcome back.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me here.
Now, I was breaking down some numbers here over the last few minutes. I think you ought to jump in on this, because I don't think there's any justification left for these lockdowns to continue. These overbearing, overzealous Democrat governors should be stopped immediately. From Forbes magazine comes the headline, 43% of all deaths from COVID-19 have occurred in nursing homes, but the number is likely far higher because states like New York don't report this. But they do know that in Ohio, the number of people that died in nursing homes, 70%. 69% in Pennsylvania, 81% in Minnesota. The number of people who died in nursing homes represent 81% of the total deaths from this in Minnesota, 69% in Pennsylvania, 70% in Ohio. And when they get done counting, it's going to be higher than that. In Michigan, New York, and New Jersey, the governors there ordered COVID-19 positive patients into nursing homes. It was a death sentence. They can go back and find that simple math would tell them that the death rate from a cold, a common cold coronavirus getting loose in a nursing home, is 8%. Can you think about that? And they ordered them in there, and they talk about science? Please. Political science, maybe. But not real science, Professor. Your thoughts?
I can only reiterate and reinforce everything you've just said, Steve. The fact is that the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, basically gave a death sentence to multitudes of people by ordering that people who were supposedly recovering be taken from the hospital to these nursing homes. And therefore, he released this terrible infection through these communities. The entire notion that government knows how to micromanage anything has been ludicrous for a very long time. That's why socialism failed in other countries like the Soviet Union.
That's right.
And Cuba and so on. And now they come along, Steve, and say, we know how should work and should not. We know what's essential and not. We know where
they have no idea.
They
have no idea. You know, I'm sitting here every day, Professor. I'm sitting here every day talking to people whose businesses are either bankrupt or teetering on bankruptcy, their life's work being destroyed, not by a virus, not by their own work or their own failure, but by government fiat and declaration that they must do this, and this is how it's going to be, and the government decides that you are not essential, you're not allowed to open. We still can't go get a damn haircut in the state of Michigan while salons and barbershops are going out of business. The governor's hair, by the way, here looks properly coiffed every day. Looks perfect on TV. I wonder how that is. Maybe she doesn't have any gray hair. Maybe her jet black hair is natural at 50. Please. I mean, come on.
I have a haircut. I had one last week because here in South Carolina, we have been loosening up. Now, the fact is that the virus is a serious matter, Steve. Nobody's denying that. People are dying. But we die from the flu. We die from a number of things. People need to be cautious, careful, and considerate. But the government does not have the means or the methods or the knowledge or the wisdom to guide, direct, and plan this any more than anything else. This is a disaster. You need adaptability. You need flexibility. You need common sense. And most of all, you need that entrepreneurial spirit to devise ways to provide masks, ventilators, to hand sanitizers. The market has responded to
Agreed.
Those failures of the government that CDC was imposing on the entire society. You want to solve this problem, given the fact that the viruses cause deaths? Get government out of the way. Leave this to the people themselves to find their solutions. If I can just say one more thing. You know, it's often said two heads are better than one. 330 million heads are surely better than the handful of heads in government to learn how to adapt, adjust, solve, and handle this crisis, far better than these political know-it-alls.
You know, what's also fascinating, Professor Professor Richard Ebling here, is the speed with which these governors, be it Kate Brown in Oregon or Big Gretch in Michigan or Cuomo in New York, pick your place, how fast they're willing to snatch that power and not give it back. You know, in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court struck down the governor there, but in Oregon and Michigan, the courts have sided with the governor, basically giving them unlimited power to put the boot down on people to keep companies closed, to keep businesses closed. Oh, and by the way, my haircut's perfect too, but I did it on the black market because, you know, it's like operating in a back alley. Hey, psst, buddy, you want a haircut? Psst, I got a haircut. Come on over here. I mean, it's what's going on. It's crazy.
Yes, and I understand you're shut down in Michigan until June 15th.
Or later. Yeah, or whenever. Anyhow.
Why don't they want to give up this power? Because it establishes the precedence that any crisis, no matter how great or how small, can be a justification and a rationalization for their command and control administrative oversight of everything in society. This is dangerous because it will set the stage for them to do it again and again. And the presumption that if not the federal government can always do exactly this, these things under the Constitution, the state governments have the latitude and liberty to basically control every aspect of our lives indefinitely as long as they say an emergency is present.
So let me be crystal clear, because I want to be, I've said this before in the program, but I want to be crystal clear. A few weeks ago, I, like everybody else, took this very seriously. We did not know. We were seeing these horrible pictures out of Italy and Spain and other parts of Europe, and we said, my God, this terrible thing's going to happen. And so we all locked down. But it didn't take very long for those that are still able to read and not get all of their news from social media that this was not what it had been portrayed as or was what we thought it was. And that's fine. But we should have been out of the lockdowns by now. I can look at Florida, I can look at Georgia, I can look at Texas, and I can say they didn't have big surges in cases because the nursing homes are not being infected, especially in Florida. But here's what I will say. I will never, ever agree to a lockdown again, ever. You're going to want me to stay in my house? You're going to chain me in there. I will never do this again. It'll be the exact opposite reaction from me and millions of others, I might add. Your thoughts?
The most important lesson, in my humble opinion, that we can learn from this, Steve, is the importance that government has to be contained and controlled by the people through constitutions and a spirit of liberty where, yes, government is needed for things. I don't want a killer to kill me. I don't want a robber to rob me, et cetera.
Right.
But in essence, government is there to do those negative protections of our life, liberty, and honestly acquired property, not to control, command, direct, prohibit, or restrict our lives. As long as we do it honestly and peacefully, even in crises like this, because we can adapt to these things far better than one size fits all, which is what has happened in Michigan. I mean,
absolutely.
In the Upper Peninsula, you have virtually no cases. So
right.
Why are the supposed conditions of the Great Detroit area impacting everybody in the Upper Peninsula? It is absurd. Allow people to adapt to their own circumstances and their local situation, and that will be a better guide to overcoming these terrible viruses.
Same thing's true about Northern California or upstate New York. You know, one size does not fit all. Got to leave it there. Professor Richard Ebling, AIER Senior Fellow and the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise at the Citadel. Nice haircut, Professor. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. You're in the No Panic Zone here on a Thursday. You can always drop me a note, stevegruber.com. Coming up later on the program, Devin Nunes will be here. Congressman Devin Nunes will be here to talk about the Russia probe and all the fallout and where we are with John Durham and everybody else. You don't want to miss it here on the Steve Gruber Show.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie? Everybody likes Brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MA.